DW Africa Link. Nigeria's President Bola Tinubu recently made a bold move that could significantly shape his country's economy for years to come. In June 2025, he signed into law a major set of four tax reform bills. That's the biggest update to Nigeria's tax system in decades. Now, the reforms aim to simplify taxes, ease the burden on low-income earners, and improve the distribution of revenue among federal, state, and local governments. But how will all this make the lives of ordinary Nigerians better? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
In 2025, Nigeria's inflation soared past 33%, with food prices hitting record highs and interest rates climbing above 27%. For many Nigerians, the cost of living has become overwhelming. This dire economic situation has prompted the government to introduce these new tax reforms. Now, many are wondering how the new tax reforms could positively impact their lives. At the same time, critics argue that it adds pressure to already struggling households and businesses. Now, I am no tax expert, so let's break all this down with someone who knows all about taxes. Daniel Olika, a tax attorney and PhD student in tax law at York University in Canada. Also joining me is Abiodun Jamiu, my colleague and DW correspondent in Nigeria. Hello to the both of you. Welcome to the Africa Link podcast. Daniel, break down this tax reform for us. What are the major changes introduced by these four new laws recently signed by President Tinubu?
Thank you so much for having me on your podcast this morning. There are a plethora of things that the tax reform efforts of the President Tinubu's government have sought to introduce, but the overarching objective, as I understand it to be, has been to increase Nigeria's tax to GDP ratio. Official figures lately has been standing at just above 10%, but then you would have people who say argue it's as low as 6%, and you know the continental average has been 18, while it's elsewhere in the OECD and in developed countries somewhere around 30%. And the bid to drive up taxes and tax to GDP ratio is essentially, you know, seeing how much, in very layman terms, how much tax revenue the government can generate, you know, relative to other sources of governmental revenue. And in the bid to do that, the government has sought to do a number of things. First, there's been a consolidation of Nigeria's tax laws, right? And this consolidation, despite political affiliation, is something that is laudable. For the first time in Nigeria's history, we're seeing all our tax laws, not tax revisions, but all our tax laws in one comprehensive consolidated document. This is similar to what you have in most developed countries. We're having our personal income tax laws, corporate income tax laws, capital gains tax laws, stamp duties tax laws, value-added tax laws in one document. What that does for us is that it simplifies the tax regime. Beyond simplifying it, it makes it very easy for administration. Right. In addition to that, and it also helps with tax certainty. As someone who has practiced tax law in Nigeria, it's not always easy to jump from document to document, especially when there are revisions to every one of these documents, to know what the exact position on a tax legislation or a tax issue is. Beyond the consolidation and simplification, from the administrative perspective, we've also seen a situation where the government has sought to create the Nigerian Revenue Service, or the Nigeria Revenue Service, to see that there's one singular body for the federal government that collects all revenues accruing to the government. Now, what that can also do for us is just to see that there is a simplification, and one might argue ease of doing business, in the sense that the average taxpayer or corporate entity has to just deal with one body, as opposed to jumping from, you know, one body or the other. And that can, you know, ease administrative that can just foster administrative efficiency in general.
Right.
In addition, there's been an attempt to expand certain provisions of the tax law to bring more people into the tax net in terms of who would be qualified or considered as a resident for tax purposes in Nigeria today. These were issues that lacked clarity in the past, especially in light of, you know, advancements in technology and post-COVID work environments.
Right.
We've seen that the government has also tried to expand There's also been an attempt. There's just generally been a development tax policy question for years in Nigeria as to what the exact position and regime for taxing the informal economy is. We see the government taking a step in this to clarify these efforts with this particular tax reform through the not just consolidation, but the establishment of the presumptive tax regime.
From all that you're saying, it sounds like a big deal, almost historic move by any Nigerian leader. What does this mean for the ordinary Nigerian? Because like every new law, there are supporters and critics. What are the critics saying?
Okay, so yes, I guess you'd not be wrong to describe it as a new dawn in Nigeria's tax regime. For the common man, what this basically means is that the simplification of Nigerian tax law, it's simpler today than it was yesterday. And as to what the critics are saying, I am not sure whether there's clarity on that position, right? Because there's, as with every political move, there would be supporters despite the best intentions of that law. And I wouldn't call myself a supporter or a critic. I would just say, based on my perspective, how this would impact the common man is that first, there's something called indexation. This might seem like a very complex tax policy situation, but for the first time in Nigerian tax, not for the first time, but for at least in recent times, right, the government has made a very clear attempt to index tax laws for inflation. For the first time, we're seeing the government increasing certain thresholds for the average business, as opposed to 25 million, which the government first introduced as the definition of a small company in terms of turnover in 2019. We have it to be 100 million because one can argue that maybe 100 million and 25 million for 2025 and 2019 respectively have the same value. For the average Nigerian, there is, for the first time, at least with this legislation, the attempt to create a threshold for low-income earners, minimum wage earners, to exempt them from tax compliance in that sense, in that they do not have to pay taxes.
This is the part I need proper breakdown on, because, again, what does this mean for the ordinary Nigerian's pocket? We're talking about Nigeria dealing with high inflation, high cost of living. It's not easy for the common Nigerian. And then this new law on taxes, are people supposed to be happy about that because it's going to give them more money or make their lives more livable? What's the deal here?
Okay. Eddie, I think you're trying to make me make a very clear statement, and I would do that. I would say that the Nigerian tax law that was introduced by President Tinubu's government has significantly simplified the Nigerian tax regime for taxpayers, corporates, and individuals alike.
What does it mean for my life as a Nigerian? Yeah. If I'm there and this new simplified, okay, so doing taxes is simplified. It's very clear what to do and the areas to go and the places to go. Okay, is it making my life any better or is it expected to make my life any better? Are the common Nigerians paying more taxes or paying less taxes? What has changed?
Yeah, so the average Nigerian should be paying less in taxes. Like I mentioned earlier, the tax rates and the nominal values in the tax laws have been indexed for inflation, right? Okay. So the tax rates have been adjusted, right? So where you would have the lowest tax band to be 300,000 thereabouts in the past, you have it as 800,000 today, right? That's a clear indexation for inflation, right? The government has also sought to expand the list of things that are not VATable in Nigeria, basically things that you would not pay VAT on. Right. So even if the tax rate is maintained at 7.5%, despite attempts to increase or possibly reduce it as depending on the side of political divide you stand on, that would mean that for the average Nigerian, you are paying less. The government could have sought to impose VAT on things like electricity and essential goods in this law, but the government didn't do that. So that means that you pay less nominal value and that would leave more cash in your pocket, so to speak. Right, for businesses who in the past there was no clarity as to what the imputed VAT regime is, right, there is clarity on that in the sense that people who pay VAT now, despite the fact that things are very expensive, can sort of get rebates, so to speak, in a very layman terms, can get some form of value back when they pay their own VAT and remit this VAT to the government. Even for businesses that will be VAT exempt, even if they've paid VAT on raw materials, this can be recovered.
Let me come to you, Abiodun. We've been listening, you know, to Daniel Olika, a solid tax guy, and he's been trying to break this down for us. Abiodun, you've been speaking to a lot of Nigerians on the ground. You've been following public reaction to the tax reforms. What are people telling you?
Okay, thank you so much, Eddie. Among the policy circle, it's the new tax law actually instills some sort of hope that things are getting better. We are getting on the right track. Also among the elites, among the educated, they are very, very hopeful that this new tax laws will mean that they will pay less tax because the purchasing power of Nigeria keep decreasing and the incomes are not going up. So a lot of people that are already worried that this tax are already worried that they are going to be paying a lot of taxes to the government, are now less worried that, okay, when this tax became implemented by January 2026, they'll be paying less tax to the government. But for the general mood, it is kind of filled with skepticism. Most Nigerians say they don't really trust that the new tax will change anything for the better, looking at what previous reforms had done for them. The government recently removed the first subsidy and also harmonized other reforms that both reforms that Tinubu has gone through, but they all look good on paper and won't translate into actual relief for people's lives. So when they share that the tax reforms are next, the reaction is that of skepticism rather than hope for general. So there's a sense that the poor, even though the government said it is lessening, it's going to lessen burden on the poor, but there's still kind of skepticism because we've seen previous laws and reforms like that in the past that put people into serious into a kind of pickle. So for them, it is more of skepticism rather than right. hope.
Right, right. So basically, on paper, what they read seems solid and seems like, something that would help them. But the issue is all about implementation. And that seems to have come across from also what Daniel is saying. But Abiodun, stay with me while you check your sound because you're touching a lot of things and it's disrupting the quality. But I'll come back to you in a bit. Let me come to you then, Daniel, because one key word that has come across is implementation, right? Critics argue that Nigeria's problem is not even really tax laws. Some would disagree with that, of course, but the issue, they say, is about implementation. What structural or institutional issues still stand in the way of meaningful tax reforms?
Thanks for that question. Yes, I agree with you. One solid argument that critics can make, and as Abiodun has highlighted, I would understand that skepticism or that feeling here, is that so much talk but very little action. And one of the many things that I think that the government can do structurally, beyond consolidating the agencies to have the Nigerian Revenue Service, would be to invest heavily in manpower. As someone who has worked with government agencies for administering taxes in the US, I would say that's one area that Nigeria's tax administration is lacking compared to global standards, so to speak, would be the investment in manpower, both in terms of tax lawyers who would be helping the government litigate these tax cases, to tax auditors who will be carrying out comprehensive auditing, and to ensure that there is regular training of their staff, because the Nigerian tax regime of yesterday and today, there is significant differences. We would not want a situation where, despite all of these very many things that have been a reason for hope, that the government will still be, or government employees will still be, because the government is basically the people, right? Will still be implementing yesterday's tax laws and imposing even harsher burdens, creating further uncertainty for people, right? So these are some of the areas that the government can, and investing in technology as well. The government has tried to fiscalize VAT in these in the tax reform efforts that it has just carried out to ensure that even businesses are able to relate with the Nigerian tax administration for the purpose of administering VAT, at least from a more technologically friendly perspective. But the government would need to also invest heavily in data security, right, to ensure that today, once the new tax regime goes into effect, we do not have a situation where there are data leaks and, just improper administration of this regime in a way that impacts taxpayers from financial security and data security or cybersecurity perspective. So, right. In summary, there's a lot of work to be done for implementation.
I think you couldn't have summarized it any better. There's one thing introducing the tax laws, and there's one thing also implementing them. And on the other hand, also making sure that there's the conducive environment, the technology, the personnel to carry it out. Otherwise, it's basically just another document with words that may not see the light of day. Abiodun, let me come to you quickly on this one, because communication is also very important, so people understand what the government is doing or at least aims to do. How has that strategy been going so far? Does the ordinary Nigerian understand what's going on?
Communication is key, just like you said. When this reform was going through scrutiny, there were town hall meetings, there were market square meetings and everything. But for now, even after the law has been passed, there's still a major gap. So the reforms are basically being discussed in elite circles, among professionals and rooms. But people selling pepper, ordinary pepper, that informal sector and a large chunk of Nigeria economy. So people selling pepper in the market, people selling small business, nano and micro business in the market, don't really understand what this tax means for them. So when you go into markets, into local communities, in fact, most people haven't heard anything beyond the headline. So the communication gap is still, the communication has been still a major gap. So even those who have heard about the new laws, perhaps often don't understand what the changes means for them practically. There's no simplified breakdown in local languages, no grassroots engagements and very public few forums where citizens can ask questions and clarify misconceptions in local communities have been there. So for them, in the next 6 months or five, the government needs to do quite very much on the communication and let people, average Nigerians, even those in local communities, understand what this tax laws means for them, what they tend to benefit from it, and what is expected of them. So there's a big concern if people don't understand the law, they can't take exceptional advantage of the exceptions and hold government accountable implementing them. So this is exactly what the communication has been.
But from what you're saying, people are just very skeptical. Why is that?
Mostly because previous reforms taken by this government, there is trust issue. Because previous reforms taken by this government have not in any way bettered their lives. The government, for example, removed fuel subsidy. And many people are still bearing the brunt of the fuel subsidy. The government introduced CNG to actually allow motorists to use CNG instead of buying fuel. There are still no infrastructure for local people to get this CNG. So there's a trust issue in governance, especially in Nigeria. So a lot of people don't trust when government says, oh, we are going to do this until the government do this. So the skepticism is actually a result of a trust issue in governance.
It's a bit strange, isn't it, Daniel, that this is such a big deal, but the communication, one, has been an issue. Obviously, there's still some more months to let people understand what's going on. So, we'll give it a bit of a rest. But communication has clearly been an issue. People are still very skeptical. And it seems clearly the government has a lot more to do to draw people to their side, let them understand what's going on. But one thing that you said that I really want to address is the whole tax revenue to GDP ratio, and that Nigeria has one of the lowest on the continent. Correct me if I'm wrong, I think the continent average is around 15% or so. And Nigeria, as you said, is around 10 point something. If there's anything, it shows the country's tax base is problematic, right? How does that compare to other African nations? And why does it matter when we talk about tax revenue to GDP ratio? What does that even mean?
So, yes, Nigeria does have one of the lowest tax to GDP ratios, not just in Africa, but in the entire world. And the figures range from 6 to 10%, whatever it is, whether it's 6 on the lower end or the higher end, 10%, I mean, neither one of it is good. And the government has a lot of work to do. Now, what does tax to GDP ratio even mean in this sense? It means that the government is generating so little in tax revenues as a proportion of its GDP and its general revenue base than it should be doing, right? So when we say it's just 6% or 10%, it's generating from its GDP, right? It's just generating 6 or 10%, whichever figure, in terms of tax revenues. Why should the government do more? Tax remains the most sustainable way for generating revenue, right? Which is why you'd find that even advanced economies, there is always a drive to generate more tax revenue. And when the government generates more tax revenue, the life of the average Nigerian ought to be better. And I use the word ought because that should be the textbook case. The government should build more roads. The government should invest in infrastructure. It means that the government should spend. If the government is generating more from taxation as a proportion of its general GDP or revenue, it means that the government should, you know, would have very little reason to go to the international capital markets to generate revenue through or to take loans, right? And that would mean that the government will spend less in servicing debt, and that would mean that the government will be able to invest for future generations. Now, so these are the many reasons the government should be improving its tax to GDP ratio. Some of the many reasons that have been identified for why Nigeria's tax to GDP ratio is very little, there are a number of reasons, but the very popular ones are Nigeria has a large informal economy in terms of the fact that more companies than individuals relative to revenue, more companies are paying taxes. Companies tend to be more compliant than, I'm not saying that perfectly compliant, but than the average individual, right? All of this talk about tax revenues, the average Nigerian would probably not even be impacted, right? They would never have a tax bill sent to their homes, right? Nigeria has a lot to invest in terms of implementation, like I said earlier, for even the government to be able to widen its tax net, for more people to be able to generate, for more people to become tax compliant, and that's the way the government's revenue can increase. Now, there can be voluntary compliance. Why do we not have this situation? Is that, like Abiodun mentioned, and like you've also highlighted, there's a huge trust deficit in Nigeria, right? The average Nigerian would believe that, why am I supposed to pay taxes, right? I pay taxes so that the politician's child can go study in the UK, while my child, you know, will be studying in third-rate Nigerian universities. Not to say that they are, but I'm just saying that that would be the option compared to what the politician's child will have access to. These are the situations and these are the issues with, you know, general tax to GDP ratio conversation, implementation, large informal economy, lack of technology to properly implement tax laws, general regulation and profit shifting, where large multinationals are trying to rob the tax system, so to speak, through tax avoidance measures. And the government has also try to do something in this regard through CFC rules, minimum tax, imposition of a minimum, clearly defined minimum tax regime for the purpose of attracting revenues. There's still a lot of work to be done, but at least it steps in the right direction for improving tax to GDP.
Okay. We will look at the glass half full instead of half empty and be optimistic that at least on paper, this seems to be the right way to go. But as you've said, that's not what people are really looking at. People are looking at proper implementation. People are really looking at how this will fill their pockets, or that they are not losing even more money from their pockets. The businesses, you know, the larger companies, even the informal sectors are all going to be looking at any way this is going to impact their lives in any way. So we will have to wait and see. Thanks a lot for the breakdown, Daniel Olika, tax attorney and PhD student in tax law at York University in Canada, and Abiodun Jamil, DW correspondent in Nigeria. Thanks to the both of you.
Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you for having me, Eddie.
Like almost every new law, there will be mixed reactions. So that's not surprising, right? However, the success of Nigeria's new law hinges on smooth cooperation between the federal team, state governments, and all stakeholders. A law without proper implementation can hardly achieve success. But here's the thing. One of the main challenges across Africa is a huge informal sector. In many countries, 60 to 70% of economic activity never sees a tax return. There are no ID numbers, no digital trails, so administrations can't track or collect. And in the cases where taxes are collected, many citizens don't trust that their government is using tax revenues for their well-being. Corruption perceptions are also high against government and tax officials. Nigerians may not want to hear this,
due to the rivalry, but by 2023, Ghana had steadily improved its tax system, raising its tax to GDP ratio to 14.1%, the highest in 6 years. Now, in contrast, Nigeria remains stuck at just 10.86%, one of the lowest rates in Africa. However, President Tinubu is confident that the new tax law will improve things. So let's see how it unfolds. We'd like to hear from you on this, so please share your thoughts with us on our Facebook page, DW Africa. Your voice matters in this conversation. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Don't forget to click follow and subscribe to our DW Africa YouTube channel so you never miss an episode. This show was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. And I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.